What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
It is Tuesday, April 9th. I'm Raj Geary, here as always with Mr. Matt Morgan here for the post-WrestleMania episode of SmackDown Live. Glenn is out this week. He'll be back next week. Matt, how are you doing tonight?
Doing good. Good episode of SmackDown. I mean, we'll get into it, but I dug some of it.
Yeah, I mean, I thought it went really fast. I felt like a lot of it is probably not going to be remembered or used in a few weeks, right. but it was a fun show.
Yeah,
let's get right to it. The show opened with the New Day coming to the ring, Kofi Kingston, Xavier Woods, and Big E. They had this championship celebration for Kofi. Big E once again doing his splits, which, as we saw last night, I was a big fan of. Kofi gives a speech. Total babyface, awesome speech, I thought, thanking his family, you know, his kids, his wife. So it was a really cool moment. And then the bar came and interrupted. The bar is starting to become like Baron Corbin, where the fans,
right?
You know, like these guys are ultra talented, but they're becoming those guys.
And I feel bad for them because this isn't their fault. It's like it's been written this way. But I would argue, like, well, guys, what the hell, what the F have you done with us for the last year to constitute us not getting go away heat? You know what I mean? Like, right. People take us seriously all of a sudden. Like, what the hell, you guys? You guys did this to us. We're two of the most talented guys on some of the most talented guys on this roster, and right. You treated us like crap for a year, and now, okay, here's our, we'll get you in the first big storyline we can get you guys in, and that's sometimes what they do. They'll ask guys. They won't come out and say, hey, we need you to stay in neutral for a little bit, you know, for like 6 to 8 months, and then we'll get back to you. Your time will come. Just remain, you know, remain calm. Keep doing what you're being asked to do, and your time will come again. Well, and that's what a lot of times the writers will say, you know, or producers will say, or events will say even. But I don't know, man. You can't do that to talent, then expect them to be taken seriously. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's funny, like Cesaro, what was it, like 4 years ago, whatever, is WrestleMania 31, I think, in California. Fans were going crazy. He won the Andre the Giant Battle Royal. He looked like he was going to be a big, you know, big single superstar.
Yeah, big breakout star.
And tonight they're chanting, shut the F up as he's talking. Sheamus said Kofi owes him for saving him from WWE Universal Champion Seth Rollins last night. Cesaro also said that they saved Kofi from losing. And they challenged New Day to a 6-man tag and introduced Drew McIntyre. So that was set, the main event for the night, the New Day versus the Bar and Drew McIntyre.
What do you mean they introduced Drew McIntyre?
The Bar said they're the third man for the main event.
Oh, I thought you meant that. I thought I missed something. They announced he's on SmackDown before the draft already. I was like, what?
Oh, gotcha. Oh, so next we had a 6-man tag, Aleister Black, Ali, and Ricochet versus Andrade, Rusev, and Shinsuke Nakamura. Yeah, really fun match. At the end, Ali hit that reverse Hurricanrana that he does, went to the top and hit the 054 on Andrade for the pin. So Ali, Ricochet, and Aleister Black with the win. What were your thoughts on this match?
What an exciting threesome, right? Like six-man tag unit.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, action-packed. I normally would say, what the hell? You guys are finishing the show with a six-man. Why the freak would you start the show with a six-man? But the styles are completely different. So it actually, I almost forgot about that opening the show, to be perfectly honest. Not because it wasn't great, but because the main event was so different.
Yeah, you know, no, this match was great. Also, this always reminds me of all these guys who were super hot at one point. And outside of Aleister Black and Ricochet, they're still new, but everyone else in this match, Ali, Andrade, Rusev, and Shinsuke Nakamura, who look like they're rising up, and then all of a sudden, within a couple weeks, they're, you know, knocked down. And you just see how talented they are. This match was great. Yeah, so after the match, they're recovering. Randy Orton flew in and nailed Ali with the RKO out of nowhere. And then his music hit. He left the ring. Rusev started attacking Ali. Kevin Owens suddenly came from out of nowhere, hit an ugly-looking stunner on Rusev, and then his music hit on the way out. So, you know, Owens getting an appearance here. He wasn't at WrestleMania, so here he was tonight.
Yeah, I mean, I hope it's – I don't know what to make of it. I want to give him a chance as a babyface because he's normally very over, but he's normally very over being himself. I like to see them put him in a role where he can just be himself and just stop writing for him. He's a guy you don't need to write for.
Yeah, and maybe ugly looking stunner isn't fair. It probably looked fine. It's just I'm so used to Austin, that being Austin's move, that seeing anyone else do it even a little differently, I don't know. It just doesn't look right.
What about when Matt Hardy does his, what do you call it? What does he call it? And he hits it. Come on.
Oh, the
Jeff Hardy does it too.
And the twist of fate.
Thank you. What about that? He kind of turns that into a stunner.
Well, he doesn't like. Yeah, kind of, but it's not the same setup as a stunner. You know.
No, it's definitely not the same setup.
Right. I mean, it's like Kairi Sane does the top rope elbow, but if she did the same, it's Macho so Man like fingers in the air,
isn't it? Yeah, I was just gonna say, isn't her so different?
Right, it's so different. So
it is. I don't know how she doesn't kill herself doing that, but
oh man, it looks awesome though, and we'll actually get to that here in a second. So after that match, Kayla Braxton was backstage with the Usos. They congratulated Kofi Kingston. There's a lot of congratulating Kofi Kingston. Which I think is cool. It makes a title win mean something.
It does. I would have liked to see more of that for Becky too, though.
Yeah, Becky was. It seemed like she. I don't know if it was because she was featured so much on Raw. I don't know. It just felt like she wasn't as front and center as
Kobe. She just won the main event of WrestleMania. She has both titles. In my opinion, there's not a wrestler more important in that organization at the moment. When you think about it and what should be important.
Right.
What it's dictated or judged by, right? You close at WrestleMania, you have both companies' title or both brands' titles. Like, hello, does it get any higher than that?
Right. Yeah, no, absolutely. It felt like she kind of took a back seat here. And this is where the booking has been inconsistent with her. And I know we've said this before, she's not Stone Cold, but it's almost like you got to think, like, what would we do with Stone Cold? How would we book him?
And it's, yes, this is how they need to treat it. Yes.
Right. Next up, we had R-Truth in the ring with Carmella. Carmella talking about how last year she won, she cashed in Money in the Bank, won the title.
Mm-hmm.
But she lost that, but now she has a good friend with R-Truth. Talked about having the largest 7 second dance break in history at WrestleMania, which I don't know if that's true because no one was dancing.
And it was way longer than 7 seconds.
It was. So anyways, their music eventually was interrupted. Out came Samoa Joe. This is kind of like the Orton thing earlier and Kevin Owens, just kind of like a random attack. So
these guys out there is what it was.
Right. So him and Truth battled for a little bit, and then Joe got the better of him, put him in the coquina clutch, and Truth fades and was sent out. Joe took the mic, talked about destroying Rey Mysterio in 55 seconds at WrestleMania.
Yep.
and he sent a warning that he may take less time to beat up any other superstar in WWE, and boom, Braun Strowman's music hit to a huge pop.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, Braun came to the ring. They fought for a little bit. Joe actually got Braun in the Coquina clutch and brought Braun down to one knee. Braun was starting to fade a little, but then got up, rammed Joe into the corner, scooped Joe up for the power slam, but he couldn't quite get him up. Joe kind of shifted over. Just kind of funny when Braun's tossed over ambulances and limos, right?
Well, here's what I will say. Joe doesn't match up against bigger guys as well. I was one of them. Joe's one of my best friends. And our chemistry got better, but like, I'm one of the bigger guys like Braun is that used to need guys to ping pong off of us. Right. But Joe's not that type, right? He's bigger. He's 300 pounds. He's not somebody you're going to be able to just toss and ragdoll around the ring. So you got to think of other ways, other means necessary to get offense in against someone like Joe without basically picking him up over your head and press slamming him every 3 seconds. Like, that's not going to work.
Right. And I feel like Joe's character just works better when he's the bully.
It does. It always does. And that's what I learned that myself. He was a heel, I was a face, and it was him cheating to get his finisher on me a lot of the time.
Yeah.
Or his Coquina clutch.
Yeah. So that segment ended with Braun decking Joe, and Joe retreated from the ring, clutching the U.S. title as he left. Next up, we had the Brooklyn Bells, this indie tag team who claimed they were undefeated, versus the Iconics. Carissa and Kristen, the Brooklyn Bells. This was over pretty quick. The Iconics getting the win.
Who were they? Was that anybody?
I have one of the names.
They're not NXT people, I'm unaware of.
No, they're not NXT people. One, I think they're both local. Someone texted me. 1 second.
Well, what a great spot for them then.
Yeah.
Two indie talents getting to work instead of the NXT talents.
Yeah, the post-SmackDown after Mania. It's uh-huh. Cool spot. Don't have that on me right now. Chris Statlander was one of the members of the tag team. So an indie wrestler from New York. But that was quick. Again, I'm always in favor of champions after they win a title, getting a win. You know,
feature win. Yeah.
Yeah. And instead of starting them off with a loss. So pretty cool.
I like these two a lot. I think this can give them some serious confidence that they're going to need to move to the next upper echelon, right? To be in that main event type of conversation eventually. They're not there now. But to get there, they've got to have the confidence of the company behind them. When they put the titles on you, that's a huge boost, morale boost, and a huge boost of confidence as a talent that the company believes in you. It's not always just a prop. And I can do a lot of wonders for some younger talent that are still finding their way like they were.
Yeah. I agree. I think Iconics have a ton of charisma. I'm not as big a fan as you are in the ring, but I think they got great characters. I think sometimes they're over the top. Mm-hmm. Characters come across as like when your son gets older, the Disney Channel, like the Teeny Bopper shows, like the Saved by the Bells, mm-hmm. Kind of like the heels on those shows where they're just like super obnoxious, but
yeah,
but they're super charismatic and they're comfortable with their characters. So I'd like to see them tone it down a little, be a little more realistic. And
what's the one, the taller one, something Joe, what is it? The taller of the two, something Joe, what's her name?
Not Peyton Royce, but Billie Kay.
Yes. Sorry, Joe. What the hell's wrong with me? Billie Kay. She's the better of the two in the ring. If you go back and watch her singles matches on NXT from day one, she was always really, really talented. I'm not saying the other one's not, but she's not as advanced as her, but she's getting better. But I mean, as a package, yeah, they're not Becky Lynch in there, right? But they can be. With that boost of confidence.
Yeah. No. Yeah. We'll see. We'll see where they go with them, but at least they feel like a real tag team as opposed to just two women put together.
They do. So,
we had Paige backstage. She talked about, she wanted to get a look at the new WWE women's tag team champions, said they looked impressive, joked about them ending the undefeated streak of the Brooklyn Bells. And, she said that she'll be bringing a tag team to face the Iconics next Tuesday night or next week. So hopefully it's not a one-time thing. Hopefully this means Paige is back in the on-screen role as a manager. Instantly, I was thinking it's Io Shirai and Kairi Sane because
that'd be great.
Yeah, I think I said this a year ago about Nakamura. I felt like we see how hard of a time WWE has pushing wrestlers that don't speak fluent English, and giving them a mouthpiece, giving them a manager, it helps them out greatly. And Paige is just so good on the mic and everything that I think it's perfect.
She is.
So after that, we went to Shane, who's in the ring with his Best in the World trophy. He's talked about his win over the Miz. First he had the ring announcer, Greg Hamilton, reintroduce him over and over. Talked about his win over the Miz. Kind of nothing. It was there. I was saying it'd be at one point fans were chanting CM Punk because he was doing the Best in the World thing. Right. I was thinking it'd be funny if Shane started coming out to Cult of Personality to really troll with fans.
That would be some good trolling. That would be amazing trolling after WrestleMania. Those crap for that audience.
Yeah. But yeah, really nothing here. That was pretty much it. So next up, the Hardy Boys versus the Usos. At one point, Jeff Hardy thought that this was going to be the WrestleMania match. He did interviews a month ago, and he was saying he felt pretty strong that they'd be facing the Usos at WrestleMania. Mm-hmm. Obviously, that didn't happen. Really good match. The end, the Usos hit a big splash. Jeff kicked out, and the match ended with a twist of fate, and Jeff hit the senton, the swanton, sorry, and they got the pin to win the titles.
Good. I love the match. The crowd came, unglued toward the end when the falls finished, when they kicked out of the Usos splash off the top rope. I knew you could see them totally telegraphing, though, after Hardy kicked out of the splash off the top rope, when he's like overly pantomiming to his brother, that one of the Usos, go over there and I'll go over here. You jump and then I'll jump. And then you, and it was like, come on, you're either going to be thrown off the top rope or something's going to happen. Or you're going to miss. They really telegraphed it.
Yeah. No, but it was still a cool moment.
Yeah, great match, great. That's a give. That's a mulligan to the Hardys, by the way, for not being on the Mania card.
Yeah, I mean they were in the Andre Battle Royal, but yeah, that's
not in the tag featured.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. So, crowd popped huge. The Hardys were celebrating with the title. Their music hit. The Usos left the ring, and then they did an interview. Caleb Braxton came out to interview him. Before they could really say anything, Lars Sullivan's music hit, and Lars slowly came down the aisle, stared them down, and then attacked him, kicked the crap out of him, beat him up both. Fans were booing, chanting, "You can't wrestle at Lars." Lars hit his flying headbutt from the top, which is...
I didn't hear that.
The fans chanting, "You can't wrestle."
How did I miss that?
Yeah, they
I didn't hear them saying that.
They were chanting, "You suck, you can't wrestle." But this was the one part of the show I didn't like. I felt like you just did the title change and you make the tag team look
this
like
this was a cool moment. And on top of it, and these are your most respected tag teams there is in how many years, right?
Right,
and what a huge FU to the division again,
right? It was like a Raw angle.
No matter who your champion is, we don't care, it doesn't mean anything.
So your two tag team champions got destroyed by one guy. And I'm fine with Lars destroying a bunch of people. Just not in this segment. Have him do it elsewhere on the show.
A million other talents they could have done that with.
Yeah. So anyway, so that happened. But Hardy's new tag team champions. This made me think that the Usos are probably going to Raw. I don't know which is with the superstar shakeup next week. I could see them feeling like Raw needs a spark in the tag division. The Usos are there. Kind of worries me a little bit just because of how tag teams are used on Raw. But
yeah,
that was the general impression I got. What do you think?
I don't want to say they go to Raw simply because they won't be featured properly. I don't trust Raw, any tag teams on Raw.
Yeah.
Not the talents, but the booking of the talents.
Right.
Although one can argue, look what they just did to SmackDown tag division. Right.
So. Yeah, but To be fair, it's on a week where kind of both of the brands are combined.
Yeah, seriously, I really wish they would combine the tag team division as a whole. I really do.
Yeah, I agree. Have both tag teams. Since you got the women's tag teams going on both brands, why not have them both? Mm-hmm. Next up, we had Becky Lynch come out for a promo. Big pop. They showed her. They showed stills from a WrestleMania win. She talked about it being a big week. Fans were chanting her name. She talked about saying that she did what she said she was going to do to Ronda Rousey and Charlotte Flair. She gets a Becky Two Bells chant going, and she then they went to a replay of her thing with Lacey Evans. Becky said that the punch reminded her she has a target on her for both belts. And with the superstar shakeup, she's pulling double duty for now, but it's fine because she does have both belts. She said she's going to be a fighting champion. And that was kind of it. And then she started leaving up the ramp, and out came Lacey Evans and just dropped her. And
snuffed her again.
Yeah, and this time Becky stayed down. Lacey posed and went to the back as Becky, you know, was starting to get back.
It was well executed. Lacey has, I'll give her credit, she's had a really good punch.
Yeah, her right hand looks awesome.
Is money. I know guys that can't throw punches like that. You know, and I told you I was on her a little bit that she's not fully groomed yet. She's not ready. She's not ready, right? But my definition of ready and what WWE pulls up to TV are two different things nowadays. But I'll tell you what is ready, that damn right hook. That is a better punch than I've ever even thrown, I'll even admit. That she throws a money. The best female punch, or forget female, one of the best punches was, I always told you, was Mickie James. She throws a great right hand. But after this, I got to be honest, I think Lacey might have the best punch.
Yeah.
Because there are two times now, they were spot on. Right. And it didn't look like, she didn't open her hand like I would at the last second. I always throw like a Scott Hall open hand punch. Right. Or like one of these Kane uppercut gimmicks. I would do one of those too. But never a closed fist the entire time. And she throws a closed fist the entire time. That's how money she can time it without killing the person somehow. I don't know how she does it.
Yeah, because she doesn't look like she pulls it at all. It looks like she's just going full speed ahead.
Yes.
So
pretty badass, man.
Yeah, no. It's interesting that Becky's first feud is going to be with Lacey, who hasn't had a match on TV yet. But Lacey looked good. I mean, she looks like a star.
Right. She's being built right. Yeah, she instantly gets credibility as a star.
And I think in a lot of ways, she's the only one, you know, because everyone else has kind of been relegated to the mid-card. I don't know who else you put in that spot other than maybe – and even Asuka's been kind of hurt so much in just the past 3 weeks.
They could pull her. They could pull – the two big girls.
Nia Tamina.
Nia Jax and what's the other one, Tamina?
Yeah.
They can pull Nia again. They have unfinished business. They're not going to, but they have unfinished business. Charlotte's always a great match. I know they've done it a lot, but I'm always a fan of it. I mean, the women's division's deep.
Yeah, but they've kind of, I don't know, all of that feels.
You can't bring any of them up, though? Like, what about, stay away from the four horsewomen for now? Fine.
Yeah, stay away from Charlotte.
And what about the girl who just won the on the female battle royal? Yeah.
The one thing with Lacey that I do like is it feels fresh.
No, Lacey's the best option for sure because she's brand new.
Everything else just kind of feels like you've seen those women up and down, beaten and not beaten. Lacey does feel fresh, so hopefully they get time to work, you know, at live events in the ring. They don't do a bunch of back and forth matches on Raw. And
I'm very interested, Raj, to hear her promos.
Yeah.
How is she going to talk? Is she going to talk like she's stuck back in the 50s as a Southern Belle? Do you know what I mean? Like, what's she going to sound like?
Right. Yeah. Absolutely.
Very interested to hear that.
Yeah. I think in a year or two that the Southern Belle gimmick will be toned down a lot.
Oh, it'll be dropped. I bet you even faster than that.
Yeah. So next up, we had the main event. The show, like I said, I thought it kind of flew by. The New Day versus The Bar and Drew McIntyre. Good match. The ending, I almost thought they were going to have Drew beat Kofi and have Drew move to SmackDown with the superstar shakeup and have that built. And who, you know, they might still do it, but I really like this ending because, again, someone wins the title. I like them seeing getting a win the next time they're out. Just getting momentum. But anyways, this match ended with Kofi hitting the Trouble in Paradise on Sheamus for the pin to win the match. So after the match, they celebrated. Kofi went to ringside, brought his wife and two sons into the ring to celebrate. And that was it. A happy ending for the last SmackDown before the Superstar Shakeup.
Cool moment at the end there. I like that. Celebrate with his family.
Yeah. What'd you think of Kofi winning? You think that was the right move tonight?
Definitely.
Yeah, I figured.
Absolutely. I mean, who else?
Well, you could have Drew beat one of the other guys, but again, with momentum, Kofi just won the title. Keep going.
It's like you said earlier, all this is going to be forgotten about in a week.
Yeah, yeah. We were talking before we went on the air. I thought fun show, but it felt like nothing really happened outside of the Hardys winning the titles. So all this is going to be kind of forgotten in a few weeks.
And when is the Superstar Shakeup? Next week, right?
Yeah.
So I thought that was a good idea that they waited this long to announce the Superstar Shakeup last night on Raw, right? Because in the past, if you remember, they would give it like a couple months heads up or a month's heads up. And it's like, well, then all these storylines we're watching now really don't matter.
Right. Yeah. I think, I can't remember if last year was the same thing, but the year before it was like, yeah, it was like a month or something like that. Yeah. But yeah, for sure. You're kind of like in a holding pattern. And no one really knows where they're going.
I went into my Twitter before I came on the show to read some of the comments, and some of the fans were saying how they don't like how many people were switching over the brands before the Superstar Shakeup next week, and that it doesn't really solidify, you know, brands, right? It's
right.
Over whenever the hell they damn well please, it feels like at times. We've always said that. This is nothing new. I mean, it's something new right now because more of them are doing it. That is to be expected going into Mania, though, for the record. And then post-Mania as well, because they go into the Superstar Shakeup and to draw attention to see, oh, what would happen if Braun Strowman came to SmackDown? Look who he can face off. Look how it would look versus him versus Samoa Joe. Here's a little taste, fans, you know, to get people excited about the Superstar Shakeup and all the possibilities out there. But I've never, even as a wrestler, believed in the brand split. I never thought it was a real thing ever.
Yeah, they never stick to it. And you know, again, WrestleMania season, I can understand why they want people going back and forth, but try to give a little explanation, right? We're kind of having to create the explanation for ourselves. We're having to say, oh, it's WrestleMania, so they can. But right. Even though that was never said, they were saying you have two separate brands. Why have EC3 and Heavy Machinery been going back and forth, especially when they're not being pushed? No, just assign them to a brand. It doesn't matter.
And one of the things I wanted to say real quick is, I take that back. When I was on SmackDown, we had a lot of pride in trying to beat Raw each week.
Yeah.
With like the work, like the Eddie Guerrero's, Rey Mysterio's, Kurt Angle's. But like, there wasn't any brand crossover then. There really wasn't. But as the boys, we had pride, right? And trying to put on a better show. But I don't know, as a fan, anybody really saw one talent as, well, he's a SmackDown branded talent. I don't really think anybody looked at it that way.
Right.
I don't think anybody really buys it as two different brands.
Yeah, you kind of always felt like Triple H was Raw, and that's kind of why Raw was always the A show.
Yes, as a fan, that's how I felt too.
Yeah, but then that was kind of it.
Mm-hmm. Which made you do what automatically? Root for the Eddie Guerrero's, right. Rey Mysterio's, Chris Benoit's, and Kurt Angle's.
And that
SmackDown.
That would happen all the time where people would...
Edge as well.
Yeah. So yeah, that was it for SmackDown. So a couple quick injury notes. AJ Styles is injured. So his injury is a hip injury. So the severity of it's not known. Hopefully we'll find more, you know, learn more soon. Hopefully it's nothing serious. Dean Ambrose is done, he was advertised for house shows through the end of the month, but it looks like they're pulling him from those too, because I've been seeing some updated advertising where originally it was the Shield against, you know, Baron Corbin, whoever, but now it's Braun Strowman stepping in to team with Roman Reigns and Seth Rollins in those matches. So
good, and Braun deserves that.
Yeah, yeah, no, absolutely. But yeah, it looks like Dean Ambrose is
really
his last appearance.
He really shoot is done.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Oh, well.
Yeah.
I'm really interested to see what he's going to do now, though.
Right.
Unless he was very smart with his money.
It seems like it's not bothering him much. So, mm-hmm. It'll be interesting to see what he does. Obviously, I'm sure people are speculating one thing, but we'll see.
He ain't going to AEW.
We'll see. Sasha Banks, they lost the tag team titles on Sunday. Yesterday, she wrote this cryptic tweet, and I'll actually just read it. Hold on one second.
The reason I said that about Dean, not because AEW isn't the shit, it's because I think he's going to want a big break from wrestling.
Yeah. So on Raw last night before the show, they had announced that either Sasha Banks or Bayley would be facing Alexa Bliss. It was Alexa Bliss's first Raw match since, I believe, last September or October. First singles Raw match. And so either Sasha or Bayley were going to face her. Turned out to be Bayley. Sasha wasn't on the show. During the episode, Sasha wrote, "There is something about the way life happens today that makes it hard to look ahead. There are things that make it difficult to laugh, difficult to live the way you want. There are things that make it almost impossible to trust where you are or to believe in where you want to be. You look around and life is happening way too fast. Sometimes it feels like the moments are gone. Everything happens all at once and right away. We're marching towards a destiny we cannot understand, towards the kingdom of convenient. Then one day you look up and you can't find the meaning. Your crisis of purpose and passion is acting up, but they tell you that's supposed to be normal. Well, I don't want normal. I want magic, because that's the place that feels like home to me. That's the place where I remember what dreams look like, where meaning is effortless and purpose is simple. That's the place where love still matters. I want that feeling of coming home again. I want to feel like myself. I want that magic."
That's about a guy, I bet.
She's married. I mean, if you think.
Oh, I'm just kidding.
And then Tamikaze, the costume designer, I forget if he's still a current costume designer, but so she was supposed to be on the Wendy Williams show this morning, mm-hmm. Pulled out at the last minute. She said due to personal reasons, she had to pull out. She apologized and said, hopefully the opportunity will be there again later, and used a hashtag if you only knew.
Maybe she's having a marital problem or something. We don't know.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know.
It doesn't always have to be about business, especially, yeah. You know what I mean? Because there's so many vague things in that I oftentimes see on Instagram attributed to a loved one, you know, a significant other that somebody's, you know, down in the dumps about or complaining about or depressed about.
Yeah. Yeah. I can't see it just being like losing the tag titles.
There's way too much of a Hallmark card to be about wrestling.
Yeah, exactly. So the producers of the show apparently were furious. And
for the Wendy Williams show?
Yeah.
Wow, really?
And they wrote, a source told Page Six, "She won't be booked again. She didn't give a real reason for canceling, and she only did it hours before the show taped, so production was left scrambling to fill her spot. Wendy ended up doing an extra segment of Hot Topics instead." Whatever. I'm not sure what that is.
Was she supposed to be on the TV version or the radio?
TV version.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. So, yeah, there's that. So, we'll see.
She's going to get in trouble for that.
Yeah, unless she got approval from WWE or WWE canceled it. It's not really clear.
That could be too. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. So, we'll keep everyone posted on that. Before SmackDown tonight, there was a dark match. Luke Harper beat EC3, but EC3 was with Drake Maverick. Drake Maverick was his manager.
They're a good combo. Hopefully let them spread their wings together. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. Hopefully it wasn't a one-time thing. They have history in TNA when Drake Maverick was Rockstar Spud. They were great allies and rivals. It had a very memorable rivalry. So
very.
This could be the shot in the arm that EC3 needs. He needs something.
Well, he needs TV time. It's not his fault. They don't give him any damn TV time. Standing backstage is not TV time.
He's been given, three words to say on Raw since he's been on. So,
it's been ridiculous. He's so talented.
Right. Also today, it came out that Dasha Fuentes was released. Backstage interviewer.
Really?
Yeah. Don't know why. She seems like she's fine. She, let's see, posted some stuff on her Instagram where she was heading to, I believe it was Puerto Rico, or the Dominican Republic for a vacation. That's not for work, she wrote. So, yeah, Dashua Fuente is no longer with the company.
Hmm. Do they still announce their releases?
They do for wrestlers, for talent. But
so corny. Yeah. It's really tacky of them. I never understood why they did that.
Yeah, that's true. And you know what's weird is like drug test failures or wellness policy violations. They announce them for main roster talent, but not for NXT.
Yeah.
Eli Drake was fired by Impact. He was booked for a match against Tessa Blanchard this past weekend. A few weeks ago, Eli wrote, thanks, but no thanks. He's not going to do it. He's not going to do an intergender match. They changed it to Joey Ryan. And Eli Drake had a back and forth with some people basically saying it's unrealistic for a guy, you know, like a big guy to be wrestling a smaller woman, you know, a smaller woman. Oh. And people took offense to that. And even though, you know, it goes the other way. Ronda Rousey, you know, wrestling a small dude. I mean, fighting a small dude.
She would get smashed. She would eat him alive.
Yeah. So anyway, he got released from Impact for that. So he's a free agent. He screams WWE to me. He has that look.
Yes. He does, but so did EC3, and look what they're doing with him. I hope they see Drake better than that, because he is money on that microphone.
He is.
He is so underrated. Not enough people talk about how damn good he is on that mic.
Yeah, he reminds me of someone I'd be a fan of in the Attitude Era. Like,
oh, yeah.
So EC3, a free agent. Hopefully, with the times we're living in, those tweets, which weren't bad in my opinion, don't hurt his chances for getting employed elsewhere. Tweeted this? Yeah. It was a Twitter exchange where he was going back and forth about why he didn't feel it was realistic for a big guy to be wrestling a smaller woman.
Who was he tweeting back and forth with?
Well, one of the guys was Jimmy Jacobs, who works with Impact. And so,
why would they not just call each other on the phone or email each other?
I don't know. it's the day day and age we live in. So,
you know how that's going to be taken, right? It's going to be taken as sexist and all this other stuff. And it's, you know, what do I say if they, you know, one time they wanted to have Spanky pin me and roll me up. Let's say I didn't have a problem with it, but let's say if I did, am I a heightist? Because right. I say he's too small and he doesn't even weigh as much as my right leg. No one will ever believe it.
Right.
You know, no one would say that to me. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, when China would beat guys up, I didn't think anything of it because it looked believable, you know?
I don't know how they book her. I don't know how they book Blanchard at all. I have no clue. I've not seen it. So I don't know. Is she like China? Do they book her like her? Is she?
I mean, she's a strong, powerful. Yeah, she's strong, powerful. And she's not, you know, like big like China, but she's, you know, athletic, you know, mm-hmm. strong person. So, I mean, I think Tessa is a superstar in the making. I think she'll be a big star in WWE one day.
So everybody says the same about her. Says about her.
Yeah. So anyway, moving on to the last thing, the post WrestleMania 35 edition of Raw, which is the biggest edition of the year. Usually, it's the highest rated Raw of the year. It drew 2.923 million viewers, so it still wasn't able to crack 3 million viewers. It was up 11% from last week's 2.639 million. But there was that episode where Roman Reigns came back and Batista came back that did 2.922 million. So it's almost identical to that week. Hmm. And it was down 25% from last year's post WrestleMania Raw. So that's a huge drop from last year. There was the NCAA championship on, which I'm sure cut into it, but at the same time,
those are really big games.
Yeah, but they were up against the NCAA championship last year. It was up against an episode of Raw.
But those were not buzzer beaters.
Yeah. I know. I'm sure it cut down, but advertising a title versus title match and then the the number dropped from the first hour to the third hour by 17%. I mean, it's not 25%. That's a huge drop from last year. I mean,
it is.
I mean, Raw has been up against football and, you know, all these and big games. And usually it gets, you know, it does get hurt a little bit, but I don't see how people in WWE could look at this number as a positive. I'm sure they were hoping to beat 3 million viewers, especially, you know, advertising a winner take all champion versus champion match.
I'll be honest. I don't know how you're supposed to really gauge TV ratings nowadays. I really don't, because I don't, there is no destination TV for me anymore in my household.
Well, those are measured. Like if you use Sling, YouTube TV, those and services, they're tracked by Nielsen. And YouTube TV, there's like a setting somewhere. If you go not through their app, but on their website, and you can, I think you could check off not being tracked by Nielsen. But so all those count.
Okay.
Yeah. So, you know,
I just don't think as many people are at home watching TV anymore. I think they're watching TV, but they're watching other shit.
No, that's true. I mean, cable ratings are down, but not nearly as down as much as WWE has been over the past year.
How do we gauge that? I wanted to ask you that. Do you guys look across other networks and compare their ratings or their average, whatever number is, versus last year's number?
Like, yeah.
You know what I mean by that?
And so, you know, Raw
feels so convoluted.
Well, so Raw got their big TV deal because they're being treated like sports. Like the big thing is that they were saying they're DVR proof. People want to watch it live. That's where why they're getting the big money. $500 million basically starting next year. They're going to be making from their TV deals. So when people say ratings don't matter to Fox, to USA, it does, because they're spending $500 million on WWE.
You're right. Yeah.
Raw in their demo last night was number one, but they were competing against Love and Hip Hop Atlanta and Teen Moms too. You know,
same crap on those shows. Dude, Love and Hip Hop, I'm a huge fan of, and a lot of people watch that show.
Right, but they're not getting $500 million TV deals.
No, they're not. Like, it's also arguably not scripted TV. It's a reality TV thing.
Right, and those shows are meant to be on for a couple of years. The ratings go down. They cycle, bring a new show. Mm-hmm. Raw is meant to be consistent ratings driver and consistent numbers. I mean, that's why they got the big number. You know, the big money offer. So, It's just a bad sign when you're heading into the Fox deal this fall and you're moving to a network where, you know, the ratings are much higher, especially on Friday night now with the Tim Allen show is doing.
We don't want work for Fox. We shouldn't care. We should be happy that they got that money. They got that deal.
Yeah, but if they get canceled or moved, it could be really bad. I don't know if they would cancel it. They could move it to like FS1 or something, and then it's worse off than the USA.
Wow. I didn't know that. I thought for sure Vince would have something like in a contract that you can't get rid of us for this amount of many years.
Yeah, those networks, they always have like those, you know, numbers that you have to meet, because, you know, if you start doing 1 million viewers on a night where they're doing like 6 right now.
Yeah.
You know, it's...
I mean, it makes sense. I just didn't. I thought like Vince would be way too proud to sign on to something like that. Like, he's above all that normal TV contract crap.
Yeah. Or they could keep him on Fox and move him to a weird night. Because they did say that it's not guaranteed that SmackDown's going to stay on Friday night. Actually, they said that it's possible that it might move. So if the ratings are bad, they could move it to, you know, like Saturday mornings. Ooh. So they have the freedom to move it around. So if it's not delivering.
I mean, why do they think Friday would be better than Tuesday?
I think they just felt like financially it probably made the most sense because of the ad revenue they get on a Tuesday from other scripted shows, because wrestling doesn't deliver the best ad revenue. So while the numbers maybe would be better, I mean, it definitely would be better. So the SmackDown numbers on a Tuesday, but the ad revenue probably would not. And a Friday night until recently was their weakest night. They probably felt like they could make up for it by having the higher numbers, even though it's lower to
average. Friday nights haven't been a big destination TV night since we were kids in the 80s when the Incredible Hulk and Dukes of Hazzard were on back to back.
No, absolutely. I mean, SmackDown's been on Friday night before and their numbers were way lower. So, yeah, coming October 4th, I believe, the first Friday of October, it's going to be on Fox.
Forever from now.
It is April. 6 months. Is that right? Yeah. But you know, the last 4 months have flown, you know, from January with Rumble time to now. So it's going to fly by. And that's when AEW is expected to have their TV show starting too.
Yep.
So, that's all I got. I mean, we kind of went pretty fast here without three people.
That's what happens when Glenn's not flapping his gums. Wasting our time. Do we have any sponsors?
Not today.
Shout out. Okay, cool.
Even faster. Matt, you got anything you want to plug?
You guys can find me on Twitter and Instagram at BP Matt Morgan, at BP Matt Morgan, or on my Facebook page, Matt Morgan for Longwood.
And yeah, I just want to say thank you again to everyone. This was our biggest week ever on the website. So really appreciate your guys' support. We really appreciate it. And we will be back on Monday. Myself, Matt Morgan, and Glenn Rubenstein will be back. We will be covering the Superstar Shakeup. And yeah, it should be a wild week next week too. So thanks again for joining, and we'll see you again next week.
See you guys.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.